Psalm 46 in our Bible, and throughout the course of this message, we're going to look at this psalm really in its entirety, but we want to pull out a truth today that I hope will be an encouragement to you this morning, and I hope it might even encourage you as simply, really, especially because of the time that we're going through in the days that we face today. And I want to preach this message. This is what I feel like the Lord laid on my heart this morning. I want to preach them a message on the importance of stillness. The importance of stillness, the importance of being still. And we see that in this passage of Scripture in Psalm 46. And so I want to preach about that this morning, the importance of stillness. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and bless the preaching of God's Word, and then we'll turn to Psalm 46. Father, I pray now as we turn to the Word of God, Lord, that You would encourage us from it. I pray that You'd help us to see the importance of stillness today as we see this in Psalm 46. And I pray that You would help us to be strengthened by Your Word and to apply it today, to act on what we hear. Allow our hearts to make decisions for You today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Psalm 46 and then Psalm 47 and Psalm 48 are really a trilogy of praise. And the praise that's given here in Psalm 46 and Psalm 47 and Psalm 48 really is a praise for the deliverance of Jerusalem from foreign enemies. And they are celebrating that deliverance, the way that God has delivered them. He's seen them through their moments of trouble. He's delivered them through the storms and the problems that they have gone through. And in Psalm 46, the presence of Jehovah in the midst of His people and His powerful deliverance of His people is grounds for them to say, we have confidence in our God. We have confidence in our God because we know when we go through times of trouble, His presence is there. We have confidence in our God because we know that when we go through times of trouble, He is powerful enough to deliver His people regardless of what they face. And so it gave them confidence in God, Jehovah. And so Psalm 46, which is the psalm we're turning to today and the psalm that we'll look at in the midst of this trilogy of praise here from Psalm 46 to Psalm 48, we're going to notice that this psalm is certainly an assurance and a blessing to us when we read it in times of trouble that we go through. And I would say that every one of us could say that right now we're in the midst of some troubling times, some things that we did not see ahead, some things that we did not know were going to happen. I mentioned this on Wednesday night in our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. Even though we did not know this virus was going to happen and was going to take place, God did know, didn't He? And it did not take Him by surprise. And in the midst of days of trouble that we face today, and maybe even perhaps throughout our lifetime, whether it be health problems that we might face from time to time or financial battles that we may have, just spiritual troubles that we have from time to time, isn't it great that you can go to the comfort of God's Word when you have times of trouble? And this is one of those psalms that you would be able to turn to. Psalm 46 would be a great blessing when we are in the midst of a time of trouble. Now, this psalm is believed to have been written in the days of a king whose name was King Hezekiah. Now, we read a story about King Hezekiah on Wednesday night. We met here for our prayer and Bible study. And we took those who were here to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we took ourselves to 2 Kings chapter number 18 and 19, and chapter number 20 as well. And we read the story of the days of Hezekiah, and we read of the time of trouble that King Hezekiah went through as the king of Judah. He was facing a time of trouble against the king of Assyria, and the king of Assyria, his name was Sennacherib. And the king of Assyria led the Assyrian army against Judah, and he did all he could to terrify the inhabitants of Jerusalem, but it got worse because he didn't just terrify the inhabitants of Jerusalem, He also defied the name of their God. Now, it's one thing to terrify a Christian, but it's another thing to defy the name of their God. And that's exactly what took place. He not only terrified the inhabitants of Jerusalem, but he also defied their God. And so we read on Wednesday night, Hezekiah turned to God. And when Hezekiah turned to God, he also received some encouragement from a prophet whose name was Isaiah. I said this on Wednesday night. It was comforting when the kings ruled in the day of Judah, as the kings ruled in Judah in the southern kingdom. What was encouraging was that God had prophets that would come along beside these kings, and he would use those prophets to deliver messages of encouragement. Now, I understand sometimes those prophets delivered sad messages as well, messages of punishment as well. But there were times that God used prophets to deliver messages of encouragement, and that's exactly what Isaiah does. He delivers a message of encouragement to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah turns to God, and he asks God, he said, God, I'm asking you to deliver me. But I'm not asking you just to deliver me. I'm also asking you to deliver the nation. And God answered his prayer, and he delivered. The Bible says he sent an angel at night to smite the camp of the Assyrians. And the Bible says that angel killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. God's deliverance in time of trouble. The people and the king faced a time of trouble, and they found that God delivers. And isn't it great to know that in times of trouble, we know that we have a God who delivers? And so we can go to this psalm, and it can be a blessing to us. It can be an encouragement to us, knowing that we serve a God who delivers. So I want you to notice some things about our God in this psalm. I want you to notice some things. I want to draw some truths about our God from Psalm 46. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 1 of Psalm 46. It says in the very first part of the verse, it says, God is our refuge and strength. Number 1, I think in this psalm we see God's protection. Isn't it great that we can flee to Him for shelter in times of danger and in times of trouble? In times of danger and in times of trouble, it says He is our refuge and He is our strength. Some of you might know that this psalm was the psalm that Martin Luther used to base the words of a hymn that he penned, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Isn't it great that God is a mighty fortress? A time when we need Him to be our refuge and we need Him to be our strength. He can protect His people. But then I noticed another great truth about our God. Look at the second half of verse number one. It says, a very present help in trouble. We not only see God's protection, but we also see God's provision. Isn't it great to know that God is a very present help in trouble? Isn't it great to know that He is immediately available and He is able to provide help? So it's true, because we have God as our provider, it's true that we can face problems and we can face them with confidence, can't we? Knowing that I may go through a time of a problem, I may go through a time of trouble, but I can face them with confidence, knowing that my God will provide for me. He is a very present help in trouble. But then notice something else about our God. Look at verse number 2. Therefore, will not we fear? Now that's a big word for the day we live in today, isn't it? Fear. Some that have made a choice, perhaps, to live in fear through the things that we face today. God says we don't have to fear. Look at what it says in verse 2. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Look at verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. A comfort we have from our God is number 3, not only God's protection and His provision, but also His power. Because of God's power, we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to worry because of God's power that is available in our lives. But notice another great truth about our God. Skip down to verse number 8. It says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." Another great picture of God's power in our lives. We are dependent upon Him. We cannot rely upon our human ability, but we must trust in God's power. So we've seen His protection and His provision and His power, but also notice what verse number 7 says. Verse 7 says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Did you notice in verse number 11, as Brother Tom read this morning, that verse number 11 has the identical words? Look at verse number 11. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Not just knowing God's protection and His provision and His power, but also noticing His presence. His presence. He is with us, isn't He? Notice again, verse number 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us." Verse number 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us." Those two words, "with us," are a Hebrew word from which we get our English word, Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel is a name for God, isn't it? And if you would look and you would study that out, you would know that English word Emmanuel means what? God with us. The very presence of God, and how we know that we have His presence no matter what we face in the most difficult or the most challenging of situations, we know that God's presence is there for us. But then look down to verse number 10, which is really the verse that I want to use as our text today, and it will really be the main part of our message. Verse number 10 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Notice this truth about God in the very last part of that verse. "I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." I want you to notice God's preeminence as well. Not only God's protection and His provision and His power and His presence, but also His preeminence. What is true about our God? That He is exalted above all. He is preeminent. And by the way, He's exalted above all in this earth today, but He ought to be preeminent in your life as well. He ought to get first place. He ought to be exalted above everything in our lives. But I want you to look back at verse number 10, because I want this to be the main part of our message. I want us to look at the very first part of verse number 10 today. And this little thought that I wanted to preach on this morning, the importance of stillness. Look at what it says at the very beginning of verse number 10. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's been said this way. It's been said that this verse actually could be broke up into shorter statements. And as you break the verse into shorter statements, it could still give us a wealth of truth and it could still give us a great encouragement. Let me give you an example of what I mean. The very first part of that verse says, "Be still and know that I am God." What if we took a few words away and just the simple thought, "Be still and know I am"? What is a name that we use for God? He's the I am, isn't He? As a matter of fact, even in John chapter 14, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Throughout the book of John, we see many examples where Jesus and God is the I am. Be still and know I am. What if we would take a few words away and just use the little thought, "Be still and know"? Just be still and know. We could even take a few more words away and just the thought, "Be still." What an encouragement in our Christian life. And even if we narrowed it down to just one word in Psalm 46, just the word "be." What we ought to be as a Christian, as a child of God. So what comfort we can find from this verse. But that little part at the first part there where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." That word "still" has the idea of just getting quiet and just waiting on God. Now, what I want us to understand about verse number 10 of Psalm 46 is that this is a command that God gives us. Be still and know that I am God. It's not just a suggestion. It's not just something he tells his people. It would be nice as a Christian if you did this. But instead, it's a command that God gives to his children. Be still and know that I am God. When we get ourselves apart from being still and understanding that God is who he is, and we move on to a place of worry where we're not quiet and waiting on God, worry does become a sin. Fear does become a sin. And so that's why I believe God commands us as Christians when he says, be still and know that I am God. But I want us to notice some pictures in this little phrase, some things that I think this little phrase pictures. Number one, I want us to see that this little phrase, be still and know that I am God, pictures, number one, a calmness. A calmness. Number one, a calmness. Just quietly trusting in God. Sometimes the only way that you can learn to trust in God is just say, I'm going to get quiet and let him be in control. I'm going to get quiet and just let him guide me. I'm going to get quiet and just turn to him. Just trust him. Just rely upon him. In times of trouble, we need to be calm. In times when we go through facing enemies, like we talked about with King Hezekiah and the people there in Jerusalem, we need to just get calm. At times when we go through storms in life, you ever faced a storm? You face storms in life, haven't you? When you face the storms of life, to just be calm and trust in God. I think about the New Testament illustration of the calming of the storm. Remember, Jesus fell asleep in the boat, didn't he? He was calm through the midst of that entire storm. But then remember his disciples, they woke him up and they said, don't you care about us? Here you are in the midst of this storm and you're resting, you've fallen asleep. Don't you care about those who are your own? And Jesus got up from his place of rest there and he said a few words to that storm, didn't he? Peace, be still. And the storm was calmed. Here's what I want us to understand as we go through the storms of life. I believe when we read that passage that Jesus had more trouble calming his disciples than he did calming the storm. Jesus doesn't have any trouble at all calming the storm, does he? Sometimes it's us that he has to calm down. So let's just be still and know that he is God. Now, it's easy to be fearful in challenging times of life, but let's let the calm trust that we have in God overrule our fears. Remember back to what we read in Psalm 46. Let's not be fearful. Let's not just be still. But let's be calm enough to know that he is God. Be still and know that I am God. So number one, I think it pictures a calmness. But number two, I think it pictures a rest. Which I think really can go right along with calmness. Just a rest. Just a relying upon the Lord. Don't try to do things on your own. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. And what does he say? I will give you rest. God wants us to be still and know that he is God. When we come heavy and when we come heavy laden, he says, you can come to me and turn to me and I'll give you rest. Just rely upon me. So I think it pictures a calmness. I think it pictures a rest. But I also think it pictures a waiting. A calmness, a rest, but I think it pictures a waiting as well. Now, one of the hardest things that perhaps we can do in life is learning to wait. One of the most difficult things, one of the most challenging things. Why? Because most of us are people of action, aren't we? You know, we want to be doing things. We want to be getting things done, and we want to try to get it done at our own pace. We don't want to have to wait. Boy, waiting in a line, that's tough sometimes, isn't it? Just learning to be patient. And we're not always, maybe perhaps, as patient as what we should be. We live in a world where we can have things instantly, can't we? Man, we can have it right when we want it. We can have it all, and we can have it right now and just the way we want it. And so sometimes it becomes difficult to wait. Even as a Christian, We might want to skip out on the steps of growth that we really need to take as a Christian. We might want to get ahead of God's timing. We want to get past Him. Here's what I want us to notice about the difference between working and waiting. Working addresses our needs and the needs of others. And that's true about work, isn't it? When I'm working, I'm meeting my needs. I'm getting things done that I need to get done. When I'm working, even when it comes to serving the Lord now, when I'm serving the Lord, I'm getting the things done that I need to get done. I'm meeting the needs of other individuals. That's what happens when we work. But when we're waiting, it helps us to put our focus on relying on God. Relying on Him. Just the time of calmness, the time of rest, the time of waiting on God. Look at Psalm 27, if you would. We're here in Psalm 46. But look back to Psalm 27. We want to notice a psalm that David wrote here in Psalm 27. David learned what it meant to wait. Look at what Psalm 27 says, verse number 14. It says this, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Now, I've said this before. I don't know if this is true, why the psalmist wrote it this way, or why God, or why David, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote it this way. But isn't it unique how he has to even tell us to wait twice? Because he realizes how impatient we really can get and how quickly we can get impatient. Hey, just wait on the Lord. He says it at the start of the verse, and he says it at the end of the verse as well. Just the importance of waiting. But David learned what it meant to wait, didn't he? David waited to be king, didn't he? Do you remember about David's life? You remember that David was anointed to be king when he was perhaps 13 years old, just as a young teenage boy. But if you study through the life of David, you'll find that he did not become king, though, until he was 30 years old. So David waited for 17 years from the time he was anointed to be king to the time he actually took over as king. David learned what it meant to wait. By the way, while David was waiting, he even faced some great adversity while he was waiting, didn't he? Think about how he had to kill the giant named Goliath. Think about how he had King Saul chasing him and he was running for his life. At times he could have even killed Saul. But yet, remember, he said, "How can I reach my hand forth and touch God's anointed man? I will not do it." He learned what it meant to wait. Remember, he even had to go through the death of his best friend, Jonathan. But then he finally became king. And here's what we want to notice about waiting. In the midst of waiting, or while we're waiting, we may face great adversity. But here's the great truth about waiting. When we wait, we get to experience great reward because we waited. We go through those times of great adversity while we wait. But because we've waited, we get to experience great reward because we made the choice to wait. Do you realize at times in our life, waiting really can be some of the most precious times? Think to John chapter number 11. We don't have time to read it now. But in John chapter number 11, there was a man named Lazarus who was the brother of Mary and Martha, right? Mary and Martha come scrambling. They send that message to Jesus. "We need you to get here because our brother is about to die." And so they're waiting on Jesus, aren't they? And really, as they're waiting on Jesus, they thought that Jesus had waited too long. But then, they got to experience, though, their brother brought back to life, didn't they? They got a little impatient. They didn't wait like they should have. But Jesus, teaching them a great lesson, helped them to realize some of the most precious times are times when you wait. Remember what Martha said? "Hey, had you been here, if you would have got here sooner, my brother had not died. He wouldn't have died had you got here sooner. Because I'm putting my trust in the fact that you would have been able to help him." But Jesus said, "Hold on a little bit here. I can still help him, can't I?" And he says in John chapter 11 and verse number 25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And one of the great truths that they learned was in the midst of waiting, they got to experience what was a precious thing that Jesus did for them. Think about what Isaiah says. Isaiah chapter number 40 and verse number 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Hey, listen, wait until God fulfills His promises to you. Because can I tell you this? If you wait till God fulfills His promises, He will fulfill His promises. Just wait. Just wait till He does and realize that He will fulfill the promises that He's given to you. Wait before you work. It might perhaps be good for us to sit before we serve. It might be good for us to know and learn before we teach. Let's wait on the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. Pictures a calmness. It pictures a rest. It pictures a waiting. But we really got to see the important one now. It also pictures a stillness, doesn't it? It pictures a stillness. A calmness, a rest, a period of waiting, but then also a stillness. Be still and know that I am God. One of the worst punishments I could have ever gotten when I was a child was to have to sit still. Now, I didn't get punished very much. One of the worst punishments I could have ever gotten, and I think my mom knew that. She'd start pulling the chair out and say, "You got to sit here. And you got to sit still." Sometimes, by the way, I use that on my children today. I learned that from mom, I guess. Pull the chair out and say, "Hey, you got to sit for a little while." Man, I tell you, one of the worst things I could have ever had to have done when I was punished as a child is to have to sit still. Man, the energy that I have, I don't like sitting still. Man, I don't like to have to just sit and do and not do anything. Some people ask me, "Do you like hunting?" No, because I got to sit still too long. "Do you like fishing?" No, I got to sit still with the rod in my hand. I want to do something that's active. That's just me now. Folks are different. I've just got a lot of energy. And so I don't like to just sit still. But with our relationship with God, though, it's important, isn't it? We've got to have times where we just have stillness. You know, when you're prone to talk, just be still. When you're prone to defend yourself, just be still and know that He is God. When you're prone or you have a tendency to justify your failures, just be still and know that He is God. When you're prone to condone your defeats, just be still and know that He is God. A time of stillness in our life. Here's what I want us to notice about stillness as we draw this message to a close. We have to be still enough, first of all, to focus on God. We've got to have a stillness. We've got to be still enough where we can focus on God. Think about what He's done for us. Not just thinking about what He has done for us in the past, what He's doing for us right now in the present, what He promises He'll do for us in the future. Not just thinking about what He has done for us, but also thinking about what He desires from us. God, I've got to be still enough to focus on what You've done for me. But I also have to be still enough to understand what You desire from me. Remember what happened in Exodus chapter number 14 as they came to the Red Sea. And remember, as they're approaching the Red Sea, the Egyptians are behind them. Pharaoh and his army are behind them. And they look behind them and they see Pharaoh and his army. And they look before them and they see the Red Sea. And remember what Moses said to them? "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Isn't it wonderful that when we stand in stillness, it prepares us to go forward or to proceed? Do you remember in the very next verse in Exodus chapter number 14, God tells Moses to tell the children of Israel, "Go forward." Stillness gets us to a place where we're prepared to proceed. We're prepared to go forward. Do you realize the stillness that you have with God when you focus on Him? That's preparing you to go forward to do what He has for you to do. That's why it is so important to be still. Be still enough to focus. Number two, be still enough to listen. Sometimes we get so busy that we don't want to just simply listen. When we listen to God, He'll reveal His plan for us, won't He? And when we listen to God, He'll comfort us and He'll give us the peace and provide the peace for us that we need. We don't have time to turn there, but remember in 1 Kings chapter number 19, it was said to Elijah, the Lord's going to speak to you. But the Lord's voice was not heard through the earthquake, was it? And it wasn't heard through the wind. And it wasn't heard through the fire. But remember 1 Kings chapter number 19? It was heard through a still, small voice. Hey, listen, we need to get still enough where we can focus and we can listen to God so that we can hear His still, small voice as it speaks to us. Think about that still, small voice that perhaps might be calling someone today even to salvation. You're sitting there today and God's still, small voice draws you to Himself. That you can make that decision of salvation where you can trust Him and acknowledge that you're a sinner and believe that He died for you and call on Him to be your Savior. Today could be the day of your salvation if you'll quietly listen for the still, small voice. As a Christian, that still small voice that speaks when God has decisions of growth that He desires for us in our lives, we must be quiet enough and still enough to hear His voice. But can I close this message quickly with this thought or this application for us? As we draw to a close here, I want us to look at some things that can get in the way of our stillness. Give you a list really quickly and we'll be done. Some things that can get in the way of our stillness. We don't want to be just challenged with this thought of calmness and rest and waiting and stillness. We want to see perhaps some things that would get in the way of us being still like God desires for us. Number one, something that can get in the way of our stillness, number one is distractions. And we're going to use this little phrase to help us to understand this. Things around us are too noisy. Things around us are too noisy. Have you ever tried to concentrate on something with noise in the background? Anybody have trouble with that? I do. Trying to study at home or maybe look at something at home and my girls are making some noise. Thinking, man, I just can't concentrate quite like I need to. Or maybe you're sitting down trying to read something and something behind you is distracting you, some noise that's there. Anybody like me where you got to have it quiet? Man, you got to kind of have it peaceful and distractions kind of put to the side. Hey, let it not be in our lives that we can't be still because there's too many things that are distracting us. Too many things that are getting our attention when really He ought to have our attention. It ought to be that the highest priority we have is a relationship with Him. Prefer Him above everything else. That goes back to what we said at the start of the message, that He would have the preeminence. So we said, number one, what gets in the way of our stillness? Sometimes distractions or it's too noisy. But then number two, no time for Him, or we'll use this little phrase, we're too busy. We're too busy. Distractions make it too noisy and no time for Him, and we say, we're just too busy. Hey, listen, if we've got activities that take our time from God, those activities need to be replaced with a relationship with God, a walk with God. We can't let it be that our time is so filled and we're so busy that we can't have time for God. Listen, activity is not a sign of progress. You're not progressing just because you're involved in activity after activity after activity. Think about the story of Mary and Martha. We don't have time to turn there, but in the book of Luke, we see the story of Mary and Martha, and we see how that Mary and Martha, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Martha was so busy serving. And remember what Jesus said to Martha? Mary has chosen the needful thing. The thing that's most important. What did Martha not do? Martha was serving, and that's a good thing, isn't it? But Martha didn't make time to be still and know Jesus. Mary sat at His feet. Have you ever had a time where you're talking to a friend and you almost look at the clock and you say, man, we're fellowshipping so much here, we're talking so much, man, we lost track of time. It was almost like Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and, man, I lost track of time. I'm spending so much time here at the feet of Jesus. Hey, let's not be so busy that we crowd Jesus out. But then the last one is this. What can stand in the way of our stillness? Other commitments that we have. other responsibilities that we have, other tasks that we have to do. And we could say it this way, we're too hurried. We're too hurried. Too noisy around us. We're too busy and we're too hurried. Hey, let's just learn to slow down. Hey, listen, Jesus had more responsibilities than any of us did, than any of us ever will. Jesus, while he was on earth, had more responsibilities than we will ever have. Jesus, while he was on earth, had more people that needed him than we will ever have that need our attention. But the Bible still tells us he spent time with his Father, didn't he? He took time to spend with his Father. It was an intentional choice that Jesus made, as a great example for us. It was an intentional choice he made. Hey, stillness is not a passive thing, it's an active thing. What we mean by that is this: you've got to create it, it won't just happen. It's got to be intentional. You say, I'm going to make a choice to be still before God. That's what Jesus did when he got alone with his Father. Hey, seek intentionally time alone with God. Seek it. Guard it. Fight for it. Don't let distractions get in the way. Don't let laziness hinder you from being still with God. Don't let apathy hinder you from being still with God. And then you'll notice when he got alone with his Heavenly Father, it just wasn't something that was intentional. He also literally, the Bible says, got alone with him. Jesus got alone with his Father. But you know, isn't it amazing that when you're alone with your Heavenly Father, you're not really alone? Isn't that great? You know, you may spend time with him alone by yourself here on earth, but you're not really alone at all, are you? And as you're spending alone time with him, it gives you strength for the task that you do have to do and the responsibilities and the commitments that you have. So let's be intentional about stillness and let's make sure that we get alone with our God. Today, what is it maybe that God perhaps would speak to your heart about when it comes to this subject of the importance of stillness? Are you calm enough to let God speak to you? Are you resting in him? Are you waiting on him? Is there a stillness in your life? Or have things maybe distracted you? Have you become too busy? Have you become too hurried with the things of life? There's nothing that would be more important than our walk and our relationship and our time of stillness with God. Nothing that ought to overrule that. And so let us evaluate our hearts today when it comes to this thought of stillness. Let's just get still with God. Maybe perhaps for someone in here today, it's just to say, I want to strengthen my alone time with God. My time when I read his word and when I pray. What an important time every day. Let's let God strengthen that. Let's let God speak to our hearts with that. Maybe perhaps just putting things away that distract us and cause us to be too busy and cause us to be hurried to the point where we're not still and letting God speak to us in that still, small voice. Maybe perhaps for one, you feel God's still, small voice speaking to you and drawing you to salvation today. If that's the case, we would love to show you from the Bible how that God tells us we can have a home reserved for us in heaven. Is that still small voice speaking to you today? I want you to bow your heads and I want you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask Miss Dawn as she helps to bring our service to a close.